May the Lord help us to commence our service by singing hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
Let us read together two portions of God's holy word. First of all, in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61, in a few verses from Matthew chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your wine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, reading the first 12 verses. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Thus far we read. May the Lord bless the reading of those two portions of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. O Lord, we come once more before thee in all our need and our spiritual poverty and ignorance. For Lord, thou knowest what we are, each one of us, the solemn condition which we have found each one of us by nature. And Lord, thou knowest the burden of every heart this night. But Lord, as we come before thee in that feelingly wretched state, O Lord, do condescend to look upon us in thy great compassion, mindful as we seek this great favour, that thou art a holy, holy God, and that we are poor, needy sinners. But oh, we would look to that heavenly mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands between us in garments dyed in blood. And Lord, we pray for that precious grace of living faith, that we may be enabled to plead the merits of the Saviour's sacrifice, the efficacy of his precious blood and glorious righteousness. For Lord, that is the only hope that a poor sinner can have, as it is wrought by the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And Lord, we would fall at thy feet, seeking that thou wilt bow down thine ear and hear us in our great need. For Lord, we stand in great need this evening, each one of us. For Lord, thou knowest how we've gathered, and how many are our needs, and Lord, how many have been our transgressions, our many, many sins, our base backslidings from thee. But Lord, to whom else can we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we pray that thou, if it could please thee, meet with us this night. Lift us each up above self and all that is of the creature, the cares and concerns of this dying world. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that we may be enabled to have a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ground of a poor sinner's hope, the foundation of their faith, and to see in him our salvation, all our salvation, and all our desire. But Lord, we want to receive and feel and have applied to our hearts the blessed testimony of that precious truth, that salvation wrought out at Calvary, was wrought out for us. A precious Christ standing in our room and place and stead and bearing the punishment due to us for our many sins and transgressions. Lord, these are great things we ask. We're undeserving of them. We do not merit them. But Lord, we cast ourselves this night upon thy mercy, that thou wilt in mercy visit us, this little company, that thou wilt make thy mighty power known through the preaching of the word. And that we pray for thy dear Holy Spirit to do everything for us, to give the word, grant precious faith in the receiving of the word. And Lord, we seek that there might be an application of the truth to the hearts of poor sinners. Lord, then do condescend to remember us each. Thou knowest how each one is gathered. And Lord, thou knowest each one of us has gathered as poor, wretched, hell-deserving sinners. But Lord, thou knowest those in whose heart there is a gracious exercise concerning their soul state, concerning eternity. And Lord, are thou found oftentimes mourning over their sins, mourning over their solemn state, but waiting upon thee. Lord, thou knowest those souls that are waiting upon thee this night. Lord, thou hast said, they that wait upon the Lord shall not be ashamed. Oh, then, we pray for more grace to trust thee where we cannot see thee. And Lord, to cast our all upon thee, seeking that thou wilt do everything for us, direct our every step, preserve us from the evils of the world, keep us from the enemy to our souls. But Lord, do keep us from ourselves. Thou knowest the wickedness and depravity which is found within our hearts by nature. And Lord, we have no power to keep ourselves. We're helpless and weak. But Lord, thou art the helper of the helpless. And Lord, thou art the strength of those that are weak. And we pray that these things may be known experimentally in our hearts this night. We would seek now to confess our many, many sins. Lord, do grant to us true repentance, godly sorrow, a contrite heart. Lord, It's the work of the dear Holy Spirit in the heart of a poor sinner. And Lord, thou knowest those broken-hearted sinners before thee. Those, Lord, who know that inward sorrow, as they know and little as it is revealed to them by the Holy Spirit of what is in their own hearts. Lord, we pray that there might be a portion for such this night. Lord, that the hungry soul might be satisfied, and Lord, that the longing soul may have those desires fulfilled, if it could please thee. For thou hast said thou wilt satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. And thou knowest those souls this night who are truly hungering and thirsting after thee, to have a fresh token, another seal, a word from thyself, to have that word spoken, that blessed seal of pardon and forgiveness. Thou knowest those who long for it, those who are waiting for it. But Lord, none can come to thee except the Father draw. But all that the Father giveth thee shall come to thee, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And Lord, thou knowest those poor trembling sinners here this night, waiting at the footstool of mercy. Oh, might there be a word for their souls, a word to strengthen them, to encourage them, and Lord, that they might know and feel the power of thy voice speaking into their poor hearts. Son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Lord, these are great things we ask, but Lord, we stand in great need before thee. We plead with thee that thou remember us this night and make thy mighty power known, but oh, that thy name might be honoured and glorified, and that there might be that fruit brought forth from a poor sinner's heart, wherein thou art glorified. Lord, the work and the power is thine. We pray for this little church and congregation. Remember each one in much mercy. Thou knowest their needs. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily and powerfully in this house of prayer as thy servants labour here. And Lord, we pray that there might be that feeding under the word, the nourishing of poor needy souls, enabling them to feed by faith upon Christ, his broken body, his shed blood, and to sing those precious truths, they're all and in all. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember each one, we pray, in much mercy. Those who may feel to be so far off, having a hard heart, a stony heart, and Lord, feeling it to be as hard as the adamantine stone. Lord, we pray that thou wilt break that heart, as only thou canst, by thy precious truth, and Lord, by the blood of Christ, that softens a heart, and brings them near
unto thee, that precious blood, wherein thy dear people are made nigh by that blood. Lord, we pray that it might be so this night. May we feel a nearness to thee. Lord, thou knowest those who long for it. We pray that thou will hear those petitions and send a gracious answer of peace. We pray for the dear young friends. Remember them in much mercy. Lord, thou knowest those in need, those passing through particular trials. Do grant to them thy upholding grace. Enable them to continually cast their all upon thee, to wait upon thee, until thou dost appear. For, Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt manifest thy love and mercy to those souls who are truly seeking thee out of a felt sense of their need of thee. Those older, Lord, thou knowest the paths they're walking in all their distresses, their troubles. Lord, the abundance of unbelief which thy dear people know painfully in their own hearts. Lord, we pray that thou wilt visit such, for thou knowest thou hast declared thou wilt lift the beggars up from the dunghill of self and sin and set them among princes. We pray that thou wouldest do it if it could please thee. We pray for those not here this night. Remember them where they are, caring for little ones. Watch over them and be with them and do bless them where they are. And Lord, we pray that thy rich blessing might rest upon this little church and congregation. Oh, that great things yet might be accomplished here, that there may be a lengthening of the cords and a strengthening of the stakes and a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left. Lord, thou knowest what thou wilt do. Thou knowest, Lord, who long for it, long to see it. Lord, do hear those petitions, we beseech thee. We pray, Lord, for those, the deacons that carry the responsibility here. Remember them each in much mercy in their individual pathways. Grant to them thy upholding grace. And Lord, we pray that they may continually prove the sufficiency of thy strength and the sufficiency of thy grace to enable them to continue. Be with them, Lord, in all their down sittings and their uprisings. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them in their own souls. For Lord, thou knowest those things they long and desire after. We pray, O Lord, for all thy dear people. Thou knowest where they are, especially we would remember those that are afflicted. For Lord, there are those servants of thine walk in paths of deep affliction. We pray for them, that thou will remember them where they are. Lord, thou hast seen the needs before it. Oh, may these things be sanctified to them, to those near and dear to them and those around them. But Lord, we pray that thy dear servants may know now the comforts in their own heart of those precious gospel truths they've been enabled to declare over many years. Lord, may they be each be enabled to sweetly rest in thee. And Lord, might there be in these paths fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory.
where it is thy will, do put forth thy healing hand. And if it is thy will, may there be those raised up to stand once more on Zion's walls. Lord, thou knowest all things, for thou knowest the end from the beginning. We pray for others, Lord, walking in affliction's path. Be with them and round about them. And Lord, we pray that in all these concerns that thou dost cause them to walk in, it is for their profit and thy honour and thy glory. We pray for Zion, thy one church, and Lord, thou seest Zion's condition, how she languisheth. And Lord, is it not so in our own hearts? Oh, how often do we not mourn over that lack of liveliness in the things of God? Oh Lord, much unbelief, much carnality, and Lord, thou seest it all. We would come and desire to confess our sins and confess the sins of Zion in amongst and our little group of churches. For Lord, our sins and iniquities testify against us, and our backslidings are many. But oh, we do thank thee that thou art the hope of Israel, the Saviour in time of trouble. And Lord, we seek thy gracious help, that petition offered up by the psalmist. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Lord, might it please thee to work in this dark and solemn day in which we live. Lord, that there may yet be a seed raised up to serve thee and to call the Redeemer blessed, those who thou hast chosen in eternity past to display to whom thou hast determined that thou shouldest display the wonders of thy grace. Lord, we believe that all thy dear people are eternally safe in Christ, for their names are graven upon the palms of his hands, their walls are continually before him. Lord, we believe it, but oh, it's to know and feel the blessedness of it in our own hearts and to know the assurance of it. Wrought thereby the dear Holy Spirit, bearing testimony with our spirit that we are born of God and that our treasure is above. We do thank thee now for all thy blessings and favours, how many thy mercies are. Indeed, thou new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. For Lord, we're each out of a deserved hell. We're still spared, despite all we are and all that we have been. Oh, may there be that earnestly known at the throne of grace, pleading with thee, though undeserving of it, that those mercies that flow from Calvary may be known and felt in our own poor hearts. For Lord, it's then we know a little of that reviving power. And now as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Lead us into the truths which couch beneath. But Lord, do touch the hearts of one and another this night. And Lord, that souls might be blessed. We seek now, as we ask these favours, in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake alone.
Amen.
Hymn number 1000. Ye tempted and tried, to Jesus draw nigh. He suffered and died, your wants to supply. Trust him for salvation, you need not to grieve. There's no condemnation to them that believe. Hymn number 1000.
Upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter we read in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5 and the 4th verse. The 4th verse of the 5th chapter in Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In this chapter and subsequent two chapters, we find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. They had been called away from their lawful occupations to follow the Lord Jesus. And we have in these three chapters many sweet blessings, exhortations, warnings to those disciples as they began at that time to follow the Lord Jesus, and in time sent out by him to preach the gospel. But here we have in these three chapters directions as to how those dear disciples would conduct themselves in the world. And though not these instructions are not only addressed to the disciples, but they're addressed to each one of us as we journey through this wilderness here below. Now we find at the beginning of this chapter a number of blessings. And let us first notice to whom those blessings are given. They are by description of their soul, spiritual state. They're poor in spirit. They are mourners. They're meek. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. And my dear friend, if we were, you and I were to speak to the world about these characters, they would say, in their carnal way, they cannot see how they can be blessed, if that's the description of them. Because the world believe it is to be blessed when they have more possessions of the world, where they can enjoy the pleasures of it, and enjoy perhaps good health and honour. But here we have the description of the spiritual state of the Lord's living family. And you know, if you and I are amongst his people, I believe these states described here, we shall know something of it in our own experiences. We would desire not to speak of them all, but to speak of the one in our text especially. Because we read this, it's they that mourn are blessed. And not only they that mourn are blessed, but they have a sweet and blessed promise given to them, that they shall be comforted. Now, it doesn't speak, it includes, my dear friend, those natural bereavements and griefs that the Lord's people know through the loss of loved ones here below. And he does, as they bring their case to the Lord, he does grant to them upholding grace. And he does grant to his dear people a measure of comfort. But my dear friend, that is not what is referred to in our text tonight. It's those spiritual mourners, those who mourn over their sinful condition, mourn over what they are and what they have been, and brought to realize they deserve nothing at God's hand, but eternal banishment forever. And you know, if you and I are quickened into divine life, and the dear Holy Spirit gives us a sight of what is in our own hearts, and shows to us our former life, and the solemn departures from God, and that which was in our heart by nature, a natural enmity against Him, to walk contrary to His ways, to be inattentive to His word, we shall find there's much to mourn over. As we are shown and revealed these things by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when a soul is quickened into divine life, they learn a little of what they are and what is found within their own hearts. And they are brought to mourn over it and brought to confess their many, many sins, conscious of the solemn state they're in by nature, conscious that they feel unprepared for that eternal destiny where all of the Lord's people enter when they leave this world here below, conscious their unfitness, conscious of the many sins and transgressions that they've committed, conscious that they walk contrary to God's ways. And my dear friend, those of us, and most of us here I suggest, have attended a house of prayer and have heard the gospel preached right from the very moment when our parents brought us in at a tender age under the sound of the gospel. And yet, can we not solemnly look back and solemnly confess how indifferent we are as we sat in the Lord's house, how careless we were about our soul state, how indifferent we were concerning eternity. Perhaps we admired the oratory of the minister. Perhaps, my dear friend, we sought some and received some satisfaction over hearing the gospel preached and admired it. But that's where it ended. They came into the Lord's house, heard the word of God preached. We left it, and the seed had fallen by the wayside. It had no effect upon our hearts. And you know, when the Lord's people, who enjoyed so many favours in their early days, and yet have departed from the Lord, it's that, I believe, that pierces that convinced soul of their many sins, wherein they are brought to deeply mourn over it and to confess it before God. And it's only the Holy Spirit can give that contrite heart and that broken spirit. It's not within our power. My dear friend, it's a gift of God to have that softened heart, a heart made conscious of what we are and what our sins deserve. And so that one convinced of their sinnership, when the Lord began that good work in their hearts, they fell at the feet of God, acknowledging the truth of it. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That was a plea, an acknowledgement of the
psalmist David. And that's where you and I will be brought, my dear friend. Not only to see and look back that we have sinned against God's holy law, but we've sinned against God. You see, my dear friend, there's the evidence of real conviction. There's such a thing as natural conviction. That is, our own guilty consciences accusing us of our many sins and transgressions. But you know, if we examine that consciousness of what we're to find, we are mourning over it, it's only because we are fearful of divine retribution and what will happen to our souls when we are called from time to eternity. But if we've been convinced of our sins by the work of the dear Holy Spirit, we shall know where David was brought and to realize we've sinned against a holy, kind and gracious God. And you know, when we are brought there, oh, there is that godly sorrow wrought in their heart to mourn over it, unable to see how that mercy can come to that soul, your and my soul, but nevertheless pleading that God would have mercy upon them. And when they're shown by the dear Holy Spirit how that mercy comes, by the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, then, my dear friend, they cry for mercy for Jesus' sake and what he is and what he has done. Are we found amongst these mourners, my dear friends? You know, it's a mark of the Lord's people. They're all found amongst these mourners, mourning over their sins. We cannot in and of ourselves mourn over them. We may, in a daze of unregeneracy, perhaps we have acknowledged the truth that we're sinners. But that's where it ends. But oh, when the dear Holy Spirit works in a poor sinner's heart and brings them to truly mourn over their condition, they come helpless, undone, wretched, ignorant, poor. That's how they would describe their case, as it's been made known to them by the work of the dear Holy Spirit. Do we know it? Has the Lord brought us there? It's a mercy if he has. Because you see, that's alone the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is a mark that the Lord has a favour toward us. Although at that time, we couldn't have even comprehended it. Our need was so great. And how low sometimes the Lord brings his dear people to learn this solemn lesson. Within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He brings them to see the emptiness of everything here below. To see that there is no satisfaction, lasting satisfaction in the things of time and sense. And to see also that they have no strength to change that condition in which they are found in by nature. They have to come helpless, undone, to the throne of grace. They're mourning souls. They come mourning over their sins and many transgressions. Well, dear friend, it's the path of the Lord's living family. And my dear friend, it's not only that time when the Lord brings his dear people there to know what is in their own hearts and their solemn condition, But you know this is a mark of the Lord's people as they journey through this wilderness, and will be right down to their dying day. They'll be mourning constantly over their sins because they continue and continually sin. And it's a great grief to a child of God as they realize they cannot keep themselves. They cannot do anything acceptable to God. Rather, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags to mourn over our sins. Well, dear friend, these mourners, the Lord knows, and he knows that true mourning, whether it's really found in your heart and my heart. Because if we know something of this case and this condition, there's one thing we shall know what it is: to have our pride brought down, our self-sufficiency brought to nothing, that self-confidence which we had by nature, to realize there's nothing in us to do anything acceptable to God. And it is this: to fall under the mighty hand of God, humbled under a sense of what we are and what our sins deserve. Do we know a little of it? Can we say, yes, I believe I know a little of that path? There may be those here in those early days, burdened with their sins, cannot see. However, the Lord can have mercy upon them. And how they inwardly mourn their foolishness in their unregenerate days. The things that they did, the things that they uttered, the company they kept, the places that they went to. Inwardly mourning over our sinful condition. Well, dear friend, there's another mourning that the Lord's people know. It's only as we mourn, as we come and the Lord grants to us that precious grace of living faith, to see where that mercy which they long to know and feel in their heart, that they're the recipients of, it's alone in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. In all that he did and all that he passed through, he did it for sinners, those who were given to him by his Father, who came into this world to stand in the room and place of each one of his dear people, to bear the punishment due to his people for their sins, as their sins were laid upon a precious Christ, and to see that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in his body and soul more than you and I can ever enter into or comprehend. But one thing that child of God is brought to know is this: he partook of that cup which God appointed for him, that cup of suffering, that thereby his dear people might be freed from the solemn sentence of death, in the feelingly now known in their hearts, and in that perfect work it was to put away their sins, as he shed his blood in Gethsemane and at Calvary, and laid down his life, that poor sinners might live eternally. These mourners, these burdened souls, these heavy laden souls, labouring under a sense of guilt and shame. He came for such. And it was through that great work which he fulfilled in Gethsemane and at Calvary, this mercy that one seeks for and earnestly pleads for, that they might be the recipient of it, they see now the channel of that mercy in the person of the Lord Jesus. His wounds, as he shed his blood in Gethsemane and at Calvary, a perfect atonement for the souls of his dear people. It was a perfect sacrifice. God appointed it. And it was only that which he had appointed could ever satisfy the demands of God's justice. The hymn writer puts it, the Saviour in the sinner's place. Now, my dear friend, those mourning souls, when they have granted a sweet view of the dear Saviour by faith, and it may only be just a glimpse, a broken heart as the Lord broke your heart, as you viewed that price that was paid, the great sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ passed through, and all the necessity of it, that thereby we, that punishment due to us for our sins, might be borne by him to reconcile us to a holy, holy God. Now that one not only mourns over their sins, now they mourn that their sins have cost the Lord of life and glory such immense suffering in his body and soul to redeem our souls from hell. And my dear friend, there's one place you and I will know a truly broken heart and a mourning spirit. And that's at Calvary. That's to view by faith the dear Saviour in our room and place and stead. Then, my dear friend, you'll not be able to get low enough. Oh, you'll put your mouth in the dust at such condescension, such infinite love, laid upon sin is the God's choice of such a sinful wretch to manifest the wonders of his grace. And my dear friend, time and eternity will not be long enough for those souls to render praise and honour and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is and what he has done, as there is that realization, what we've been saved from, and what we have been saved to be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to sing his praises eternally. Dear friend, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to know a little of these things that one quickened into divine life will be led by the Holy Spirit, led out of themselves to Jesus Christ, that he might be their all and in all. Then you'll understand and enter into a little of what the bride declared. He was the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. Blessed are they that mourn,
my dear friend, how blessed these characters are. The world knows nothing of these truths and these blessings. They have no desire after it. To them it's foolishness. The preaching of the cross is to them that foolishness. It's foolishness to them that are saved. It is the power of God. And that child of God knows it experimentally in their hearts. They know that had not the Lord set his love upon them and chose them in eternity past to display the wonders of his grace, they never should have known these precious truths and to have the Holy Spirit's testimony in their hearts. Therein they're raised up to a good hope through grace founded upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus. What blessings are these, my dear friend? The greatest blessings you and I can ever know. What favoured souls such are. Blessed are they that mourn. Are you amongst them? Am I amongst them? The Lord will, if he's a favour toward us, bring us to mourn over our sins, as the hymn writer says, and after him. Now we have a sweet and blessed promise here, and and the Lord's people know the truth of it in their own hearts experimentally. That distress of mind that they knew when under conviction of sin, that distress of mind they felt as they felt the workings of sin and wickedness in their own hearts, that distress of mind as they realized the awful state they're found in the sight of a holy, holy God. Spiritual distress. My dear friend, it's these that are comforted. And they're comforted by the glory, the blessings of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians 1, don't we, in those opening chapters, as it speaks of these blessings which have come to all of the Lord's living family. We read there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What a precious word that is. Accepted in Christ, not for what we are, but what he is and what he has done. Accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. These are these heavenly comforts that were in a child of God, in all their spiritual distress, is brought to know the blessedness of the truths of the gospel, to value those truths, to bless God for it, and to know that true worshipping frame of mind. Then that soul worships in spirit and in truth. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now those mourners here, I trust there are many mourners here, mourning over their sins, mourning over their sinful inclinations, which constantly the Lord's people know and find working within their own hearts, and their total inability to keep themselves. They mourn because they find they cannot do anything to keep themselves, and they have to come continually pleading that the Lord would remember us in mercy. Mourning, daily mourning. That's what it'll be. Come to the end of the day, we come before the Lord in prayer. How do we come? It is truly to thank the Lord for his mercies throughout the day, but it is to come in real confession and true repentance and godly sorrow, as we realize, as it's shown to us by the Holy Spirit, and our conscience witness to the truth of it, how many have been our sinful one heart wanderings, how carnally minded we've been throughout the day. Oh, those sinful thoughts that have been entertained in our mind. We have to fall at the Saviour's feet, pleading that the Lord would remember us still in mercy. They come mourning still over what they are and what their sins deserve, but mourning that such sinners should be the subject of the work of grace in their hearts, to walk in that path, to know that it cost the Lord of life and glory his life, that we might live eternally. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now you see, the comforts of the gospel for those who are in distress. Some today like a comfortable sermon, wherein there is a seeking of the assurance that they're in the right path and that they're walking in the ways of God. They're not concerned with being searched out. They're troubled when there's a sermon preached warning over the solemn condition in which sinners are found, showing to that child of God, my dear friend, and to those who gather, what sin is found within their own hearts. Many today, I fear, want to be comforted in a fleshly religion. That's how they come. And that's what they seek for. They want to know they're in the right path. Well, in one sense, my dear friend, we do. But you know, the test is this. Are we ready to be searched? Do we want to be shown if we've been deceived? Do we want to see if we're in right, walking in some sinful path which is contrary to God and grieving to the work of the dear Holy Spirit? It will be if we're in distress over our sins, and you know the Lord's people know that distress again and again, I believe. A child of God cannot but be distressed on account of their sins. Yes, dear friend, their hope is in the dear Lord Jesus and what he has done. It's the only hope of a poor sinner. But it is to see what those sins, past, present,
and indeed solemnly future sins, for we shall sin right down to our dying day. But oh, the efficacy of the precious blood of Christ that has atoned for all sin. And it is, as the hymn writer says, daily I'd repent of sin, daily wash in Calvary's blood. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, distressed soul, troubled soul, here's a promise for you to plead. Plead the fulfillment of it. Tell the Lord your case. Tell him the trouble which you feel you're in. Tell him all your guilt. Tell him all that is within your heart. Those things that you could not speak to anybody about. Those secret sins. And we've all got them. Those sins that we would dare not speak to others about. Tell the Lord. Pour out your heart before him. Trust also in him. He'll not fail you, my dear friend. This promise which he gives is for such characters as you, mourning souls. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And those comforts are alone in the gospel of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That time will surely come when you will clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but you will say for me, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We read that word in Isaiah, and oh, what precious truths they are, aren't they? Speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world and the office which he would hold. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The fulfillment of this precious promise, the comfort with the Lord has promised to bestow upon those mourning souls. Well, dear friend, I leave you with this thought. Are we found amongst them? Can we truly say we mourn over our sins? Can we truly say we are mourning after the Lord Jesus Christ? That is, not only what he has done, but mourning, pleading that he would return, that he'd remember us once more, that he'd come and speak another precious word into our poor heart, that he'd speak another and come and fulfill that precious promise he gave so many years ago. In our own experience, mourning sometimes over an absent God, pleading that the Lord would return. These are the mourning souls in our text. Well, they shall be comforted. Well, may it be our exercise and concern to be found amongst these gracious characters, and that thereby, in the pleading of the fulfillment of this precious promise, they can, by faith, look to for the fulfillment of it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Woodhouse on Friday evening next week with a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our hearts, and come and seal it there by the dear Holy Spirit. Be with us now as we part, grant journeying mercies, and take us to our homes in peace and in safety. But be with us the remainder of our journey here below, whether short or long, and prepare us for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.